Welcome to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Turn your audio up, Central Tech. You're about to listen to the best out of high school sports talk on radio. This is the Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Ping, the host of this great show. Excited to be here today. We have a great program ahead. Obviously, it's a super fun time to be associated with Texas High School athletics. And, not only do you have football playoffs going on, you got obviously playoff races in UIL 5A and 6A. You have UIL volleyball, some teams at state, some teams just starting the playoffs. You have cross country going on. I know tennis is having some big matches. There's so much going on, and we have a lot to cover on today's program, and we'll cover as much as we can over the next hour. But obviously, like we usually do, I kind of outline the show, and once I get through our intro, I will get through, results, that notable outcomes from this past week in the Austin area when it comes to high school football. In about 15 minutes, we got a great interview coming up with Fredericksburg girls basketball coach Carrie Grona. Obviously, if you've been following this program, you know that they made such a great run last year to the UIL State Final Four. And so far in the 2020-2021 season, the Battling Billies are continuing to win more than they lose. And that's great. It's great to see this team continue to find success out in the Hill Country. So definitely looking forward to bringing that interview to you. We'll dive into last year's success and obviously this year's plan and more in that interview. In about 30 minutes, we will dive into small school football playoffs. Obviously, let you know some area round playoff results from this weekend, and we'll give you the schedule for the week to come. In about 45 minutes, we will update our Vipe Austin UIL 5A and 6A football rankings. Obviously, in 5A, we have a Division I and a Division II ranking, so you'll want to stay tuned for all that. We will also continue our predictions for small school, not just small school, but playoff results when it comes to football. So you'll want to stay tuned for my 12 pack of playoff pick'em matchups this week. Have some great and very enticing matchups this week. And we'll see wherever else this show takes us. But before we get to all that, I wanted to dive into the notable results from this past week in UIL 5 and 6A. And before we get to some of those, right before I started recording, I noticed that something got clarified that we were, there was some news that came out earlier this week about, Lake Travis not being able to play this week, their football game. And obviously, if you've been following their schedule, Thanksgiving week was supposed to be when they had the big game, Battle of the Lakes, with their arch rival, Westlake. And it looks like they're also not going to be able to play that game. And so I'm really interested to see how 26-6A, the district that Lake Travis, Westlake, and some other notable area programs are in, how they decide the seedings. Because obviously Lake Travis and Westlake, they were anticipating that they would have this big matchup to ultimately decide who would come out as the district champion. And we'll find out at some point what the district committee decides on that. But just want to give you a heads up on that, because obviously if you were planning on going to that game, it's good that I shared that. Or if you were just, obviously interested in the playoff races locally, that was also something crucial to share on today's program. But some games that did occur that were notable, let's start with Westlake. Obviously, the Chaparrals continued to roll, earned another shutout victory, dominant performance, this time against Austin High. Westlake is 8-0 on the year, 6-0 in 26-6A play. This is the Chaparrals' latest shutout. Obviously, I mentioned on this show's run that the Chaparrals have recorded more shutouts than they have non-shutouts this year. They've just been so dominant in so many areas of their game. And if you compare Westlake's district record only 6-0 in 26 6A play to Lake Travis's overall record of 6-0. That includes both non-district and district games. It's just kind of an interesting note. You know, it just shows, kind of goes back to what I was saying before, where Westlake and Lake Travis are not going to be playing, one, as many games for the entire season, but also as many games in district play. But saying that, let me go through some other results in the area that really played a role in shaping postseason stretches. Temple pulled out a thriller against Clean Shoemaker 27-24. Wildcats are now 8-1. Round Rock, man, they have really surged the last couple of weeks. The Dragons, if you recall last year, missed the playoffs. They won six games, missed the playoffs. Well, there was some uncertainty about, okay, can this team return to the postseason this year? Well, they are, at this point, the driver in 25-6A, the Dragons are. And that's because they've won five straight games, including back-to-back upset wins against Leander ISD opponents. Last week against Sierra Park Vista Ridge. This time against Austin Vandergriff. Their latest outing was a 28-21 overtime victory against Austin Vandergriff to extend their win streak to five games. Also in this classification, the highest classification in the state, 6A, Sierra Park Vista Ridge is 7-2. Bounce back win because Round Rock Stony Point had to forfeit. It was disappointing that Round Rock Stony Point had to forfeit not only this week, but next week's game. And you saw it a lot on Twitter from some of their athletes about how disappointed they were, especially the seniors. And it's heartbreaking. You know, it's similar to what happened with, you know, the just everyone last year with the whole high school scene where, you know, in the middle of spring, everything got shut down. And I hate that, you know, a program like Round Rock Stony Point is not going to be able to, you know, offer some of their athletes the opportunity to finish out their final high school season. Because Texas high school sports, especially Texas football, means so much to these individuals, these families, these schools, towns, districts, obviously the whole state. So I hate that these seniors at Round Rock Stony Point will not be able to finish their full senior year. Harker Heights beat Killeen 52-23. That is the Knights' second straight victory. That is their second two-game win streak of that length this season. Hayes is also on its second two-game win streak this season. This time, the Rebels beat Del Valle 24-21 on a last-minute field goal. In 5A, Sierra Park couldn't play this week, so it's going to have to play three games in 10 days starting this Wednesday. First against Pflugerville, then Pflugerville-Wise, then Manor. Georgetown earned a 60-28 win against Pflugerville. Big win for the Eagles. Dripping Springs earned a forfeit win in the last 2 weeks. The Tigers are now 7-2 on the year. The latest forfeit win came against Harlandale. Pflugerville had the week off. Pflugerville-Henderson had the week off. Buta Johnson, interesting for the Jaguars as I wrap up the first segment today. So they lost 55-24 to Seguin. That's the third time they've been on the field since October 9th. That's because three of the weeks they earned forfeit victories. They also have two losses since October 9th. So when they've met the field. So obviously a lot more coverage ahead. Definitely stay tuned for the interview and more. I'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com. Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back. Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bingham, host of this great show. Obviously, this is a time that we bring in some other voices to this program, and today we got a good one. Coach Carrie Grona from Fredericksburg, obviously the women's girls basketball coach over at Fredericksburg, and obviously this program did some great things last year, marching into the state Final Four. And I definitely want to kind of talk to her about that and obviously what is going on so far in the 2020-2021 season. But before we get too far into it, how are you doing today, Coach?
Good. Very good.
Great to hear. Well, obviously, I wanted to start with last year. I mean, obviously, you know, it'd been a while since Fredericksburg had made it to the state Final Four. What was that run like for not only yourself as the coach, but just, you know, with everyone involved in Fredericksburg, the townspeople, obviously your athletes, the coaches, everyone, et cetera?
Well, you know, as a player, you know, I had made a run like that, but the community kind of made it really special. Fredericksburg is, it's a bigger 4A, but it's a very small town feel. We've got a, you know, it's German based, and most of the kids here, you know, we're kind of all related. I'm related. I'm married to a Fredericksburg boy. And so just the fact that, you know, the community and admin and even the coaches and from the other sports just kind of rallied behind us, that was, I guess that was the best feeling. And the fact that the players that we had made it special. That was a good, and that was a fun group to coach and to be around.
That's great. And obviously, that was the fourth time. Obviously, 1951, 1985, and 1995 were the other years besides 2020. You mentioned that you'd been part of one of those runs as a player. What was different being a coach compared to when you were a part of one of those runs as a player?
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as a player. You know, you don't really understand how rare that is. Hopefully not once in a lifetime kind of thing, but you got to have certain players, certain chemistry. Things have got to kind of fall out. You got to have luck on your side a little bit during the playoffs. Things have got to kind of fall in line. And as a coach, you see that. You see how every moment was special, and to kind of live in the moment. And as a player, I don't think I did that as much. And that's kind of tried to teach those girls during the run, was just this is the moment. Just enjoy it, and you know, let's go one game at a time, and not look too far ahead, because you never know what's, like COVID this year. You never know what's going to happen in the next season.
Exactly, and obviously, much of that success that occurred last year is continuing on in the early couple games in the 2020-2021 season. What has been kind of the biggest boost to obviously extending your winning success, but just obviously on-court accomplishments, and how do you feel like this team can kind of match up with last year's squad?
I think we're ahead of where we were preseason last year. I think because the girls, I've got, you know, I got four starters back. You know, I've got I got two freshmen on the squad that are finding their way right now. They're pretty talented little freshmen. But just the chemistry, these kids really love each other on and off the court, and they want everybody to succeed. And they know what we're running, and they know if I change offenses or I change defenses, it's pretty quick turnaround on what I do call it. Where this time last year, we were kind of filling it out and getting used to it, and you could see some of the wheels turning. And this year, we're just a little further ahead, and I like where we're at right now. We're offensively and defensively.
That's great to hear, and I know you have some notable players back: Ella Hartman, Audrey Spurgeon. Who, besides them, have really kind of enhanced the depth this season?
Well, we've got our MVP of the district last year was Brittley Bauer. She didn't get those all-state honors, which I personally think she deserves. You know, as a coach, we put them up, and then it's committees that decide who gets the all-state. But in my book, Brittley by far was an all-state player above some of the other kids. And so she's continuing her MVP-type status. Then we got another post player coming on. Her name's Avery Krause. She's a junior this year. She's transitioning from a guard to a small forward. Annabella Raza, she's a junior this year. She was my sixth man off the bench last year, and we did that just because she's a spark off the bench. But we're starting her this year. She started her freshman year, sixth man off the bench last year, and now she's starting again. That kid, lights out defense, just got to have her on the floor most of the time. Steals, charges, just deflections, you name it, she does it for us. And sometimes she does things that you can't see in the stats. And then, of course, I was talking about those two freshmen. We've got a small forward in Madison Fronson coming up, doing a great job learning the system and the processes that we do. And then Madison McKinnon, she's a lights out shooter from the outside. She's understanding defenses just as important as offense, and that's kind of her transition right now. But they're doing really well. And, you know, I've got some depth. I've got probably, you know, two more. I've got a senior and a junior that'll come off and give us minutes. So it's fun. It's fun to coach them this year.
And so far, I mean, your team has faced some really good competition. Dripping Springs, Cornerstone Christian School out of San Antonio, obviously Bernie Champion this week. How have you tried to set up the non-district schedule with, you know, tests to obviously prepare your girls for not only, you know, district competition, but obviously another lengthy playoff run?
My mindset is I really don't care what my win-loss schedule is in preseason, and I try to drive that home with the girls. And this is all about getting prepared for playoffs. I want to try to put them in as many adverse situations as I possibly get them in. So playing those 5A and 6A, we lost our tournament, and we were in three 6A tournaments coming up for this season. And so when we lost those, I tried to schedule as hard or as back-to-back as I could possibly schedule it. Just try to – we get the most adversity out of those tournaments, that tournament season, because it's tough. And, you know, going and playing six games in 3 days and then turning around and playing a Tuesday night and then – going into another five-game tournament, I mean, they get exhausted, they get tired, but they learn how to fight through stuff, and we get into some situations where they have to. I mean, it's fight, just keep fighting, and you know, not worrying about the officials, not worrying about is our shots falling, or you know, where we have to depend on defense as our number one go-to, because they love, you know, all kids, they love to shoot the three, and they love, you know, they love to score on the offensive end. But getting them to understand that that's not always going to be there. Defense is what's going to carry you through, and that's what's going to carry you through in the playoffs. And so I try to schedule, you know, right now, you know, we got Bernie Champion, and then we got Liberty Hill on Monday, and then we got Mason, which is a, you know, great 2A. They're a physical team, and then we come around and we play Somerset the following Tuesday. So just trying to get them tested at every point that I can before we get into district.
Absolutely. And I know you touched on it a little bit earlier in regards to kind of the familyness, the friendliness, the culture, the tradition that's, you know, all around the town at Fredericksburg. Obviously, it really embraces its German heritage. And every time I go to Fredericksburg, you know, you can see it all over the signs. And just, and obviously, you know, you have the Uber Alice at Fredericksburg High School and Fredericksburg ISD. What is the best thing about, you know, coaching and being a part of a small town like that?
Just the fact that, you know, I walk into the grocery store and everybody wants to talk about basketball. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. But everywhere you go, the kids, they know the kids. You know, with the COVID numbers right now, we've had to, you know, limit the capacity of the gym. And, you know, we run out of tickets quickly. And this is for a girls' basketball game. Last Tuesday, we had to shut down the gym, and we went no fans. And I thought we were going to have a little bit of a, you know, a riot that they weren't going to be allowed. But, you know, we've got a good broadcasting system that Billy's Live does on live games for us, thank goodness. So I think maybe we would have had a little bit of a riot on the outside. But, you know, just I like the fact that everybody cares. They care about what the kids do, how they do it, and, you know, and the kids care about representing the community with pride, and that's what the Uber Alice is, just, you know, pride above all.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Coach. Obviously, great stuff, and keep up the great work, because y'all are definitely representing the Austin area in a really high way.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, we were just talking with Carrie Grona, the head girls basketball coach at Ferguson High School. Obviously, the Battling Billies are doing some great things, as they did last year, and they are off to a great start in the 2020-21 season. So definitely keep an eye on them in the, out in the Hill Country if you are anywhere on that part of our coverage area, or if you just want to make a trip. It's definitely worth catching out some of their games, whether they're at home or on the road, because obviously they are one of our area favorites going into the season, especially in the small school realm. So definitely good luck to the Ferguson Battling Billies girls basketball team, and obviously Coach Grona for all the great success that they have planned ahead. And we have some more great coverage in our third segment coming up. Obviously, we will continue with our small school coverage. A lot of small school football playoff results from last week, obviously schedules and more, obviously predictions later on in the program as well. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for all that, because it's a really hectic but also fun and busy time to be a high school sports fan, not only in the Austin area in Central Texas, but across the great state of Texas. So definitely stay tuned. Keep your radio dial where it's at, because you'll want to stay tuned for the rest of the program.
You're listening to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, the host of this great show. Obviously, we are going to be continuing our small school coverage on today's program. Maybe I should have said launching our small school football coverage on today's program. Obviously, we are continuing our small school high school sports coverage, because we just talked with Coach Carrie Grona of Ferguson Girls Basketball. Great interview with her. Big thanks to her for joining the program today. And it was great to see that Ferguson is continuing what they started during last year's run to the UIL 4A state final. But like I said before, this is a great time for some small school high school football coverage. Let's start with the last week's results. So in 4A Division I, you had a couple games that played out, and then you also had a couple games that, unfortunately, we don't have the score yet because they're being played the day of our recording. But let's start with a very critical matchup, and it ended up being a loss for a team in an area district, but it was still great to see this team battle. That was Canyon Lake, who challenged South Texas Power Cal Allen in a 37-31 area round. It's the second, we just completed the second round of the playoffs. And obviously, strong season for the Comal County Hawks of Canyon Lake. Canyon Lake was one of three teams left in 13-4 Division I. The other two teams that were in this district, their games we don't have yet because they were being played the day of our recording. That was Lampasas versus Corpus Christi Miller and Austin El Bajero College versus Alice. So those three teams going into this weekend, the weekend that just occurred, or I guess as you're listening to this, the weekend that is going on, there were three teams from 13-4 Division I. Some districts didn't have as many, like 9-4A Division II. Salado hung on to beat Belleville 28-23. Another team from that district, China Springs, shocked a state-ranked opponent for the second straight week. Last week, they beat number 4 Jasper. This week, they ousted number 2 West Orange Stark 35-22. Both these teams are dangerous. Slato has a similar offense to Liberty Hill. We've talked about Liberty Hill offense. It's not the routine offense that you're usually seeing, where it's, you know, predominantly pass and then, you know, run when you want to or to shake up the scene. Salado does a lot of running. And so, you know, they got to face a team in Carthage who you know, they've won like over 60 games in like a, I believe it's like 66 of the last 67 games, if I'm not mistaken. And the only team that they lost to was Liberty Hill during that stretch. And so, you know, Salado, and we'll get into this preview more as I give you some predictions later on this program. But Salado, the fact that they beat a very strong Belleville squad, but also have that type of offense, makes them dangerous. And then I already told you why China Spring is dangerous, because they've knocked off back-to-back state-ranked teams. So keep an eye on 9-4A Division II heading into this week, because both of these teams have a shot to meet each other in the following round. They obviously have different opponents, but they both have a great shot to advance past the weekend of Thanksgiving weekend. In 13-4A Division II, Navasota beat Rockport Fulton 39-34. Giddings lost to Sinton in a battle 28-11. Good to see Buffaloes hang with that very electric team in Sinton. Sinton has some big-time playmakers, one of which is going to a Division I baseball program. So definitely good to see the Buffaloes hang with Sinton. I know it was a loss, but still good to see the Buffaloes hang with them. 14-4 Division II, Geronimo Navarro had no trouble with Raymondville in a 52-18 win. Wimberley, another team from 14-4 Division II, overwhelmed Hondo 54-14. 11-3 Division I, Lorena advanced via a forfeit win against Crockett. Not as many forfeit wins this week, which is good to see, because that means there were more teams that were able to hit the gridiron this week. In 12-3A Division I, Heltzville shut out Dieball 27-0. Columbus beat Woodville 21-14 in a thriller. Yoakum upset a very good East Chamber squad 37-35. All three of those teams are from 12-3A Division I. 13-3A Division I, Llano thumped Lyford 49-6. Laga Vista beat Orange Grove 48-15. Blanco, as we say in Texas, 45-42 lost to Vanderbilt Industrial. 2-3A Division II, Bollinger lost to Spearman 35-7. Bangs lost to Canadian 56-13. Obviously, Canadian is a state power. 13-3A Division II, Franklin beat Natalia 49-20. Buffalo beat George West 52-35. Rogers outdid Poth 21-20, and Lexington shut out Taft 28-0. So all four of those teams from 13-3A Division II are headed to the third round of the playoffs. Congrats to all four of those programs. In 4-2A Division I, Cisco beat Olton 46-15. San Saba lost to Panhandle 49-35. Hate to see the Armadillo season come to a close like that, but at least they challenged them. 7-2A Division I, Crawford beat Bogota Rivercrest 44-6. Bosqueville beat Cooper 44-12. Tolar lost to Lindsay 69-20. Those are 7-2A Division I teams I just mentioned and how they did this week. 8-2A Division I, Itley lost to Alver 35-7. 12-2A Division I, Hearn lost to Beckville 41-38. Holland lost to Garrison 7-3. This is similar to that game I mentioned last week. I think Thorndale may have been part of it. It was like a 7-0 game. It's like, man, like how did this happen where they only combined for 10 points? Kind of interesting right there. 13-2A Division I, Shiner beat Freer 72-6. Ganado beat Three Rivers 55-0. And Flatonia lost to Refurio 55-6. 14-2A Division I, Mason advanced with a 41-18 win against Kennedy. 10-2A Division II, Mart beat Lovelady 48-12. Bremon lost to Tanawha 42-30. Chilton and Deweyville don't have that score either, because they're all going on the day that we recorded the show this week. 13-2A Division II, Snook beat Yorktown 52-23. Granger lost to Falls City 39-16. 15-1A Division I, Jonesboro lost to Mays 62-16. 16-1A Division I, Lakey beat Water Valley 64-46. In a 13-1A Division II versus 16-1A Division II battle, Calvert beat Cherokee 69-44. In a 14-1A Division II versus 16-1A Division II battle, Oglesby lost to Richland Springs 70-38. So some schedules for this week. So I mentioned Lamp Passes and Austin Obidjero College. We don't have their results for today's program, but I do have who they will face if they win this week. So Lampasas, if they beat Corpus Christi Miller, would play Bernie. Austin Elwood College, if they beat Alice, would face Cal Allen. 9-4A Division II, here are some definite matchups. Salado will play defending state champ Carthage on Friday. I believe it's a 5:30 p.m. kick in the Houston area. China Springs will battle State Power Sealy. Those are 9-4A Division II teams. In a 13-4A Division II versus 14-4A Division II battle, Navasota will play Geronimo Navarro. 14-4A Division II's Wimberley will take on Sinton. In a 11-3A Division I versus 12-3A Division I battle, Lorena will play Hallettsville. Both teams are district champions, so that should be a pretty fun game to check out if you're in that part of our coverage area. And then there's a all 12-3A Division I battle between Columbus and Yoakum. Two district opponents facing off for the second time this season. 13-3A Division I's Llano will play the Jernton Edna winner. Loga Vista will play Vanderbilt Industrial. Unfortunately, 2-3A Division II, the last two district teams lost the area around this week, so no upcoming playoff matchups for those or for that district. Now there's those all 13-3A Division II matchups. Franklin will play Lexington, and Buffalo will take on Rogers. Last week, I mentioned that 14-3A Division II did not have any teams in the second round because they all lost in the first round, so obviously they won't have any games in round three this week. 4-2A Division I, Cisco will play Hawley. 7-2A Division I, Crawford will play Alvord. Bosqueville will play Lindsay. 8-2A Division I, the last district team was eliminated in round two. 12-2A Division I, the last two district teams saw their season coming to an end this weekend, so no games ahead for them, at least for 2020. They'll be back on the field in 2021. 13-2A Division I versus 14-2A Division I matchup. Shiner will play Mason. Both are also district winners. In 13-2A Division I, you also have Ganado taking on an out-of-district foe in Refugio. 10-2A Division II, Mart will play West Sabine. If Chilton beats Deweyville, it will play Tenaha next week. 13-2A Division II, Snook will play Cristobal. And now we got the regional finals in 1A real quick. 15-1A Division I, no regional finals for any of these teams because the last team got eliminated in round two. But you have 16-1A Division I, Lakey battling May. And 1A Division II, from the 13th district, Calvert will take on the 16th district, Richland Springs, and there's no one left in 14-1A Division II. Well, a lot to reflect on right there, and I hope you get out to some games this week. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, but the good thing is there will be some games not on Thanksgiving Day. So if you want to spend the holiday with your family, you'll definitely have some great opportunities on either Black Friday or on Saturday to catch some great action. And actually, there's a game on Wednesday even this week. That's not a playoff game. I believe Cedar Park's playing on Wednesday in 5A. So it's a district game for the Timberwolves. So we have some great wrap-up coverage in our fall segment. Definitely keep your radio dial where it's at.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com. Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Time to jump in the saddle, folks. We got a loaded final segment of today's episode of the Vipe High School Spotlight. As a reminder, I'm Thomas Bingham. I'm here every week at this time on Talk 1370 AM and Magic 95.5 HD2. And we have so much to get through in our final segment. Let's start with our UIL 5A Division II football rankings, the updated version of those. Every week on the show, we update our area football rankings. And through the small school regular season, we were doing that for 4A as well. But on today's show, as we have the last couple weeks, it's just going to be 5A and 6A. So in 5A Division 2, there were some changes this week. We start with number 5, Georgetown Eastview. The Patriots are now 5-4 in the year. They were previously not ranked. This team has been in and out of the rankings all year. I think the Patriots are really trying to build some momentum because they are trying to get in the playoffs. And, this is the final time that they final jump that they need to kind of continue that progression late in the season. They beat Pflugerville-Conley 62-6 in a dominant outing this week. This week's number 4 is Austin McCallum. The Knights are 3-2 this week, or 3-2 for the year. They earned a valuable and well-deserved bye week this week after 3 straight wins. The Knights are obviously climbing into that district playoff race with that recent surge. So good to see the Knights rest, and I know they're ready to return to the field in future weeks. Number 3 this week, Marble Falls. And the Mustangs, similar to Austin McCallum, move up a spot in our rankings this week. The Mustangs won their second straight game, this time 44-0 against Austin Northeast Early College. Number 2 is exactly who it's been the last couple weeks, and that's Leander Rouse. The Raiders are 8-1 on the year, beat crosstown foe Leander Glenn 28-27 in an exciting ball game. They're riding a 7-game win streak, so watch out for them, especially with the playoffs right around the corner. And then number 1, same thing as it has been since preseason, Liberty Hill. Finally back on the field, the Panthers were this week. Obviously, I mentioned on previous shows that Liberty Hill had back-to-back bye weeks in November, and there was no rust this week in an 84-0 win against Austin Navarre Early College. So once again, in 5A D2, number 5, Georgetown Eastview. Number 4, Austin McCallum. Number 3, Marble Falls. Number 2, Leander Rouse. And number 1, Liberty Hill. The team that fell out this week was Austin Northeast Earl College. Obviously, their 3-game win streak came to a close this week with that very disappointing defeat. 5A Division 1. Some more changes. We start with number 5, Pflugerville. Pflugerville was number 4 last week, but unfortunately, they struggled with Georgetown. Georgetown is a very good team this year. And I'll get into that, obviously, later on as I'm releasing these UIL 5A Division 1 rankings. But the Panthers ultimately lost 6-28 against the Eagles. They fall from 4-5 this week. Pflugerville Henderson, for the first time in a number of weeks, are in the area UIL 5A Division 1 football rankings. They've been just on the cusp for weeks on end. You know, there was that big debate, you know, when Beauty Johnson was getting all those wins via forfeit. Do you give Beauty Johnson the edge with them having one additional win in many of those weeks than Pflugerville Henderson? Well, Beauty Johnson finally lost this week, 55-24 to Seguin. And so that opened the window for Pflugerville Henderson, who is riding a 3-game win streak. And they weren't able to play their game against Leander this week. Basically, what happened was they're going to have to push their game back to Monday, November 30th against the Lions. So they'll have kind of a tight schedule at the end of the regular season stretch. But definitely keep an eye on the Hawks because, you know, they're definitely setting up that big game with crosstown foe Pflugerville towards the end of district play. That's really going to not only decide how these two teams are going to finish in our post-regular season UIL 5A Division 1 rankings for football, but also playoff seeding in their shared district. Dripping Springs stays at number 3. The Tigers are 7-2 on the year. In case I didn't mention, Pflugerville is 5-2. Pflugerville is 5-2, and Beauty Johnson is 6-2. Dripping Springs earned a forfeit win the last 2 weeks, this time against Harlandale. I mentioned last week, and Dripping Springs had a similar formula to what Wimberley did a couple weeks ago in the regular season. And so they had a game, a district game, that had to be forfeited. The other team in their district that they were supposed to face that week had to forfeit. And so Dripping Springs, as Wimberley did, decided to reschedule, but replace that game with a non-district game. And so, in a sense, Driven Springs went 1-1 last week. But they obviously earned another one this week, this time against Harlandale, and that's why they're 7-2. Georgetown stays at number 2. Driven Springs stays at number 3 this week, but back to Georgetown at number 2. The Eagles are 7-1 after that 62-28 win against Pflugerville. And Cedar Park is still at number 1, obviously still undefeated at 6-0. The Timberwolves could not play this week, so they have 3 games in 10 days starting this Wednesday. I already mentioned earlier in the program that the Timberwolves will play Pflugerville, followed by Pflugerville Weiss, and the Manor. So some critical games down the stretch for Cedar Park. In UIL 6A, updated rankings, start with number 10, Austin High. The Maroons have lost 3 of the last 4 games, unfortunately. That includes this week's loss against Westlake. Number 9, Hayes stays where they're at. The Rebels are 5-3 at this point. Austin High is 4-3 up to this point. Back to the Rebels, who beat Del Valle 24-21 on a last-minute field goal. The Rebels have won back-to-back games for the second time this season. Number 8, Harker Heights stays at number 8. The Knights are now 5-3 on the year after they beat Killeen 52-23. Similar to Hayes, as I mentioned before, this is their second 2-game win streak of the season. Number 7, Cedar Park Vista Ridge stays where they're at. The Rangers did earn a bounce-back win because Roanoke Stony Point unfortunately had to forfeit. So I'm going to keep them where they're at. Number 6, Killeen Shoemaker. Actually, back to Cedar Park Vista Ridge for a second. In many of these cases with these forfeit wins, I haven't really been bumping teams up that much. I've basically been keeping them where they've been at whenever they've earned a forfeit win. I'm trying to be consistent on that. So if you're just wondering, oh yeah, Cedar Park Vista Ridge is 7-2 and Killeen Shoemaker 6-2. Why is that the case? Well, I'm basically not giving as much credit to a forfeit win as if, you know, the two teams met on the field. Back to number 6, Killeen Shoemaker, who falls from 5-6 this week. They did lose to Temple, but they battled. So I'm only going to drop them one spot this week. Number 5, Austin Vandergriff is 6-2, similar record to Killeen Shoemaker. Vipers' 6-game win streak came to a close with that upset loss against Round Rock in overtime. So Vandergriff falls from 3-5 this week. The team that jumps up is number 4, Round Rock, who's 6-2 on the year. Back-to-back upset wins against Leaner ISD opponents, as I mentioned before, this time 28-21 against Austin Vandergriff. The Dragons are riding a 5-game win streak. Number 3, Temple, moves up from 4-3 this week. The Wildcats are 8-1 after a 27-24 win against Killeen Shoemaker. Big win for the Wildcats, especially with how hot that Killeen Shoemaker was earlier in the year. But also Killeen Shoemaker, their only 2 losses have been by a single possession. So, yeah, Killeen Shoemaker's 6-2, but they're better 6-2. And Temple obviously got that type of impression when they faced Killeen Shoemaker this week. Lake Travis stays at number 2. They're 6-0. I mentioned before, couldn't play their Austin Aikens Early College game this week. Their final regular season record will be 6-0 because they won't be able to play Westlake this week to come. Number 1, Westlake improves to 8-0 after a 6-2-0 win against Austin High. Once again, in 6A, it's number 10, Austin High, number 9, Hayes, number 8, Harker Heights, number 7, Cedar Park Vista Ridge, number 6, Killeen Shoemaker, number 5, Austin Vandergriff, number 4, Round Rock, number 3, Temple, number 2, Lake Travis, and number 1, Westlake. So, like we usually do on the show, we give out a show honor. And this week, we are going to 3A Division 2. I want to give Lexington, the Eagles, a lot of praise. They were the 4th seed from this district, and they're heading to the 3rd round of the playoffs. So congratulations to them. And then, to top that off, they just shut out their opponent in the air round of the playoffs. So big props to the Eagles for what they did. 28-0 against Taft. Now, as we wind down today's program, this week's program of the Vipe High School Spotlight, I'm going to give you my results from last week. I went 8-2 this week because 2 of the games I picked haven't been played yet. Once those go final, I will update my schedule on next week's show. So just so you know, I'm not just going to forget them, whether I get them right or wrong. But I got Cal Allen right against Canyon Lake, Salado right against Belleville. I missed West Orange Stark against China Spring. I got Navasota correct against Rockport Fulton. I got Sinton right against Giddings. I got Geronimo Navarro right against Raymondville. I got Wimberly right against Hondo. I got Lorino right against Crockett. I got Columbus right against Woodville, but I missed Yoakum against East Chambers. I picked East Chambers, but Yoakum won. Now, this week's games, really quickly. Slater-Carthage, I got Carthage, China Springs-Sealy, I got China Spring, Geronimo Navarro, Navasota, I got Geronimo Navarro, Wimberly-Sinton, I got Wimberly, Lorena-Hallettsville, I got Hallettsville, Columbus-Yoakum, I got Columbus, Laga Vista-Vanderbilt-Industrial, I got Vanderbilt-Industrial, Franklin-Lexington, I got Franklin, Buffalo-Rogers, I got Buffalo, Crawford-Albert, I got Crawford, Bosqueville-Lindsay, I got Lindsay, and finally Mason and Shiner, I got Shiner. Obviously, big thanks to everyone who was a part of today's program. We'll talk to you next week. Hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving. Toss me a sign off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.